Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
I want to start off the rip with El Salvador. I actually put this on Instagram, on Earn Your Leisure's Instagram page last week, that El Salvador was the first country to recognize Bitcoin as a national currency. So now I believe the president is saying that they're going to have an exemption for foreign investors when it comes to their Bitcoin tax. So like any tax on profit gains. So is he just trying to just, you know what I'm saying? Get some clout. Is this like just a clout chasing on a high level, or is it like something that's really going to make people go to El Salvador? It's a new vibe.
Yeah. When I read the article, the first thing I thought was like, Cayman Islands. Like everything in rap was like, yo, we go
hide money on the islands.
That's where we hiding our money. And so I was like, well, this is gonna be the new Cayman Islands. But to me, it was like, yo, is this the new incentive program? Like, what can we do to have people invest in? If you're in Bitcoin, like if you're in cryptocurrency, like I get it. It kind of makes perfect sense, right? Like if there's somebody that's offering you no taxes on your gains. That's a pretty sweet incentive, especially if you were early on in investing in cryptocurrency, especially Bitcoin and Ethereum. No taxes?
Whew. So how do you feel about this, Ian?
Every country, company, or entity needs a competitive advantage, and El Salvador doesn't have a big enough one. This can move the needle. I mean, we've seen how well it's worked in Puerto Rico. The part that sucks, though, you may have a bunch of displacement from those that are low income that are natives of there. So anybody that you know who's living in Puerto Rico, you've seen this groundswell of people moving because of the tax incentives there. So it's going to change the landscape a little bit. But if you look at the community of Bitcoin or crypto, they don't have a homeland.
Right.
So if your kids have ever played Fortnite, like you need a meetup spot. Bitcoin doesn't have that. Like a Coinbase conference isn't big enough for that at the moment. This is very innovative. I think there's a little bit of clout in there, but if they are able to execute this, they probably have 2 or 3 million people that will be willing to move there. as a result of this initiative.
You think that many people, 2 million people?
Worldwide? I think that's a drop in the bucket. Like, for as it's fanatical, listen, New York Knicks fans are irrational. Bitcoin holders are 10 times worse than it. Like, Bitcoin holders are like MLM people and wrestling fans, like, rolled in one with money. Like, they're some of the most fanatical people that I've ever met. So, absolutely. And then let's say if you've been invested since 2013,
right,
like I was, and then yours didn't get stolen like mine did. El Salvador sounds kind of sexy if you don't have to pay any taxes on it. So, worldwide in about a 2 or 3 year period. Yeah. And then you have to look, if you live in LA, New York, Miami, London, Cape Town, you probably can get a mansion for it.
Yeah. I wonder what the stipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how long do you have to live there? Can you take the capital gains out while you're there and come back? Like, what would be the stipulation? They'd have to release all that before anybody. I mean, 2 to 3 million is a lot, but if anybody was thinking about it, like, those would be the questions before I make any type of move, right?
Yeah, I remember back when we was teaching, I taught the class to the kids about how every year thousands of Americans renounce their citizenship.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And they couldn't understand at the time. They were like, why would somebody, what does that mean to renounce your citizenship? And I'm like, they renounced their citizenship. They're no longer U.S. citizens. And they're like, why would they do that? And I'm like, you know, they're going to save so much money on taxes. And they moved to different countries. And it's just like, you know, they kind of cool off of living in America. So it's more of a high level conversation. Obviously, you got to be in a whole different mindset and a whole different, you know, tax bracket to even think about something like that. But it happens. Like I said,
it's more reason I moved to Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And based on what tax. And based on what you posted earlier, right, about the New York State.
Oh, it's Miami, here I come.
Oh, my God.
I gotta talk to Ms. Business about
this. What was that, 62%, they said?
61% for the highest tax in New York City. That's nonsense. Yeah.
And start California, packing tonight.
Yeah, California, 59%. I'm like, I got to call Ian and John. Like, listen, man, well, how's Houston? How's Austin? This Texas thing might be situated.
Yeah, but a lot of billionaires, a lot of people with a lot of money have renounced their citizenship, moved out of America. So, you know, this might be something where the president is looking to capture a portion of that. And it'll be interesting to see how Bitcoin is taxed moving forward. And as it becomes more and more Bitcoin billionaires, and just from a privacy standpoint, from a taxation standpoint, will they leave countries like China, like America, like Russia, that's a little bit more strict, and, you know, and will they move to countries like El Salvador, or at least have a residency there? It's interesting. So yeah. Global, we will keep an eye on this. You know, at least once a show, if you haven't noticed, we've been trying to do global topics because this is a global show, and mm-hmm. there are people from all over the world that tune in to Market Mondays, from the UK, from Canada, from Africa, from Europe, South America. So we can't just talk about America. We have to talk about the global economy, and the global economy is relevant to America anyway. So everybody should be aware of what's going on all over the world.
And if it's not El Salvador, I'm guaranteeing the thought will be sparked by another country, right? Like, this is absolutely, like, you know what I mean? Like, so that'll be interesting.
Well,
to see too.
Like you said, Switzerland for a long time was known for that. Cayman Islands.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, you know, it's interesting. Now this win the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency
age.
Now it's not the Swiss bank account anymore. It's the El Salvador wallet. Coin that.
Dude, what you doing, man?
So we're going to call you in the morning. Our God.
Yeah, you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So speaking of Fortnite, Epic, this is, I talked about this a while ago. So what will be the effects of Epic Games ruling have on Apple stock, being that it's a $7 billion hit to their revenue. So this is interesting on a few different levels. If you've been following this Epic Game Apple fight for over a year and a half now.
Has it been that long?
I think it's, yeah. It's,
I feel like, yeah, maybe last summer they started to sue.
It's been a while. Yeah. So, well, first you want to kind of bring them up to date as far as what's happening with that, or?
Yeah, so I mean, the suit was really over the fees that you had to pay in app purchases. And I think the 30%, they were fighting the 30% that everybody who was on the App Store had to pay to be a part of it. And so it's kind of a double edge, right? Like 30%, yeah, it seems like a lot, but when you get on a platform like Apple, who brings you billions of customers. But
they're looking at it like they're already Fortnite. So that's a crazy thing.
And that's what I'm saying. They're already Fortnite.
Who has the most leverage? Yeah.
It's important to understand Apple's revenue streams. They have a lot of different revenue streams. And one of their revenue streams is the App Store. 30% is a lot.
That's a lot.
If you really think about it, because they're getting 30% of everybody that's in the App Store. So
the bigger question is, where else can give you that type of exposure?
Nowhere.
Maybe a Super Bowl ad, but that's for one day.
Right. Yeah, but so Epic fought back, and they put out a dope commercial. I went over. I made an Instagram post with my son about that, where they did. Remember Apple's original commercial, like when they did the 1984 commercial, mm-hmm. and they threw it at this. So they said Apple's trying to take us back to 1984, meaning like Apple's trying to become Big Brother. Apple's trying to take the little guy's money, and it's an interesting situation. So they sued them. Mm-hmm. And they won the lawsuit, I believe.
No, Epic lost the lawsuit.
Epic lost?
They lost the lawsuit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where do we stand with this, Ian? What's your thoughts on what's going on?
Normally, I would come on and be like, "Yo, Tim Cook's second greatest CEO of all time," and I'm not worried. This is not the case. $7 billion is a lot of revenue to potentially lose. I'm not just worried about Epic, but what if the top 50 apps come together, and then at one time they say, we need to do something about this fee. Now, of course, they're working on a car. We can talk about that later. But when you are looking at potentially maybe 50 or 60 apps coming together and then making you negotiate from 30 to 10 or 15%, that is a huge hit. So I know they're going to try and offset the losses. They're going to add some incentives. They're going to do some things with developers on the back end. But from a branding perspective, I think it was brilliant for Epic to go up against the giant. Because Epic is not a small company. They can say the 1984 thing, and that's cute. And Apple did the same thing with Microsoft. Yeah. So it's a little bit of karma coming back home on the back end of the 2007 I'm a Mac versus PC campaign. But I'm worried if 40 or 50 apps come together, force them, and if they get the monopoly tag from the federal court, that'd be bad. Am I worried about the stock? No, mm-hmm. in the short term.
Yeah.
But it is... to see maybe seven to, on the high end, $84 billion leave out of Apple in the worst case scenario, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah,
long term, they'll be great, but it's something I would be concerned about.
I think a small win in this was that, yeah, the 30%, they lost that lawsuit, but I think that they ruled that they have to change how they do in-app purchases. And so you've already paid your 30% to be in the App Store, but the in-app purchases, that's it. Really for the company, right? So if you're buying things inside of an app, there shouldn't be a percentage that goes to Apple because you're hosting it. And so I think they said that they ruled that they have to change how they do in-app purchases going forward. And so yeah, it's like a small, yeah, it's a small victory, but you know, it is what it is. And then Apple, like you said, the stock, like, are we worried about it short-term, long-term? What's tomorrow, right? Like they have this, right? They announced a new iPhone tomorrow. They announced a new iWatch, potentially a new iPad. So.
And that car.
Well, we're going to get there, but they're just going to keep on innovating. We're going to keep supporting it. Like, their brand loyalty is at a different level. So,
yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they kind of have, you know, a monopoly on it. And a lot of people, you know, really don't have. Fortnite obviously can survive without Apple, but the vast majority of apps really can't survive without Apple. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if other, you know, huge apps and games decide to leave the platform. But yeah. Fortnite. It'll be interesting to see their future.
Yeah. A majority of the CEOs are saying, like, we're fine paying the 30 because we wouldn't have the audience. Our business wouldn't survive without you. Like you said, Fortnite a little different. The way that they have run their businesses, they can do it on any platform. They can do it on Xbox, they can do it on PlayStation. they don't really need the app. So yeah, having the handheld is clutch and it's a key component, but like you said, it will survive without it.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop. F- a mic drop, backdrop.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.